This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, August 26, 2010. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is P.J. Hrabowski, host of Film Score Friday every Friday morning on KUAF. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle.
We always talk the day before to give a preview of Film Score Friday, and you have selected a score. Now, I don't know if the score is one of my favorites of all time, but the movie certainly is.
Well, the score isn't one of those types of scores that you would walk around humming. It's just very different.
And this movie, of course, is
The Maltese Falcon.
I love this. Humphrey Bogart.
1941. Now, I chose this because, number one, I love the movie. And I really like the film score composer, Adolph Deutsch. It was the directorial debut of John Huston,
who went on to many, many classics.
Yeah. It was the first A movie for Humphrey Bogart.
Really catapulted him to household name status.
Right. And at first, we didn't even know it was going to be an A movie. Mm-hmm. And then it was the first movie for 61-year-old Sidney Greenstreet. At the same time, you have this twisty, compelling story that holds up reasonably well and has for the past 69 years. Of course, a great story written by Dashiell Hammett.
Right.
But it was actually the third time the movie had been made, the only time it had been successful. Now, Warner Brothers bought the rights to The Maltese Falcon in 1930, which was the same year the book was published, and they paid $8,500 for the rights and produced two versions of it in the next 6 years. The first one in 1931 portrayed Sam Spade as a real playboy, more of a playboy than a hard-nosed tough guy. And it bombed. Okay, this 5 years later, it was released under the title Satan Met a Lady. And it was a comedy which starred Betty Davis as the femme fatale. And it bombed. And it had Betty Davis. How does that happen? Okay. But the third time, you had a movie with a first-time director, Huston, a B-movie actor, Humphrey Bogart, contract players, a short shooting schedule, and the direction of Hollywood was changed forever. I mean, this was the beginning of film noir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the time The Maltese Falcon arrived, audiences had been used to a certain kind of private eye. Usually somebody with lots of money who cooperated with the police, didn't like to get his hands dirty. Good example, The Thin Man.
Yes.
Also of Hammett property. Mm-hmm. And The Maltese Falcon, you have Sam Spade, who's kind of an anti-hero with a penchant for fast dialogue and fast women. Well, he'll do anything to make a buck and is likable because of his frankness about the world and his role in it. He doesn't carry a gun, but he isn't afraid to use one if presented the opportunity. Now, this was not how movie detectives were expected to act before 1941. Now, Adolph Deutsch was born in London in 1897, and he began playing the piano when he was 5 years old, and it was discovered when he was seven that he had perfect pitch. Well, he started at the Royal Academy of Music in London when he was eight and was already receiving awards for composition. I know. What were you doing when you were eight, Kyle?
Not receiving awards for anything.
I wasn't either. In the 30s, he was orchestrating and conducting musicals for George Gershwin and Irving Berlin. He won three Academy Awards, one for Some Like It Hot, one for a great movie, The Apartment, and The Arrangement of Oklahoma. Now, the original soundtrack for Maltese Falcon didn't survive. The best source of listening comes from the dynamic duo of Morgan and Stromberg, who recorded and restored parts of the score for their 2002 Marco Polo recording, which is what we'll be hearing. And as far as we know, the written score was given to the University of Wyoming, so maybe someday somebody will take on the huge task of a new recording, which would be cool. But in 2010, we have roughly 14 minutes of material from the score with the Moscow Symphony Orchestra. That's it. That's all you're going to find. At the beginning of the movie, you have the Warner fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had Max Steiner do the fanfare, but this time he had him do it in B-flat instead of the original key of C to give it kind of that darker flavor of, you know, the movie. We'll be right back. Even though this is primarily a serious, hard-boiled film, you still find moments of subtle humor. And Deutsch was quick to score the proper type of music for these moments. In fact, there's a scene called The Deal, where Sam Spade, remember where he's drugged?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, well, in this scene, there's this excellent example of the wonderful underscore of Adolph Deutsch. You'll hear this disturbing dissonance, and then an excellent use of the timpani and percussion, lower register keys on the piano, and a reinstatement of the main theme using the oboe and the brass. The impressive thing about these tracks is that Adolph Deutsch, due to budget limitations for a movie that we didn't know was going to turn out this wonderful, he had to use a much smaller orchestra, but it didn't take away from the effectiveness of the tracks at all. And the final track, which is called Endcast, they included this music just for fun.
Oh, okay.
It was just kind of, you're going, it's kind of a little bit jazzy, and you're going, what's this? And John Huston said, yeah, let's use it, just for fun.
Maltese Falcon, and what else tomorrow?
We have music from The Dish, The Queen.
Mm, I like that movie.
Red River, John Wayne movie. City Lights.
Chaplin.
Right. Meet Joe Black. And A Perfect Murder, which is based on Dial M for Murder.
Okay. That's all tomorrow on Film Score Friday from 10 until noon on KUAF 91.3 FM. PJ, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kyle.
What is it?
The stuff that dreams are made of.